The following is a presentation of Remnant.
Light of the world. Hey, this is Jeremiah from Remnant Church. Thanks for listening to us online. You know, we want you to be encouraged and filled with hope through your experience as you listen in. This life can be complicated, even confusing, but it's our hope that you catch a glimpse of God's unconditional love for you and His purpose for your life. Thanks for listening in.
Good morning. Welcome to Remnant. I always like to pace back and forth and see all the shiny, bright, and happy, vibrant, awakened faces this morning. Look at you. You guys all look really good this morning. You guys are looking better than me. I feel like a truck hit me this week. I've been working 12-hour shifts. And I'm just tired. But you know what? God's work will never stop. God's word will always go out. Amen. No matter what we're facing, guys, we've got to keep going. Don't ever give up. I'm always going to start saying this. Christians do not have reverse. If you're a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ in this building this morning, all you have is forward, folks. All you have is forward. You can look back all you want to, but you need to be trugging along forward. Amen? I need to point something out before I get started. I spoke with a beloved brother from this body that's sitting here this morning. I said I would do this. Jeremiah, Vic, and Debbie, wave back there. That's Jeremiah, our pastor, and his wife Debbie, and the beautiful child there in the arms. They have a Monday night Bible study. Right? I believe Jess and Roxanne are not here. But Victor, where are you, Victor? Victor's way back there. He's there, too. They have a Bible study on Wednesday. Frank and Kathy Perdomo, raise your hands, please. Wave at me. Come on, Brother Frank. I don't have to get on you later. We have a Bible study there on Thursdays, and I hit that one up. We have a men's Bible study as well on Tuesdays, and Mike Roseborough's not here today. So I'm going to wait for Mike Roseborough there in Imperial. We have a men's study every other Tuesday. Where's my lovely wife? Right there in the corner where I can see her. That's my lovely wife, Olivia. She has a women's Bible study on the opposite Tuesday to the men's. So there, everyone knows now. You all know the people, and you need to hopefully start getting plugged in to some type of study during the week, guys. Because let me tell you, as a minister, as some of you, you see me as a pastor, Sunday to Sunday is not enough for me. I need something in the middle and a little extra. I'm glad I do men's studies. I'm glad I do a Thursday night Bible study. Then Sunday comes along. We need to keep the engines revving for Jesus. Amen? And this is the place. You know, we need to be here. We need to stay plugged in. I mentioned my hours I've been working. Because a lot of us can say, you know what, I work a lot and I'm tired. Well, so am I. I just squeezed in this sermon into Jeremiah to get it on the PowerPoint. And why did I call it? Must stop the crackle. How many of you, by the raise your hand, seen the movie The Lego Movie? The Lego Movie. Right? So some of you must relate or can understand who the crackle is, right? This is what I got from this movie before we start into my sermon. I saw it twice, seen a while back, and I see it again. To me, what I got out of it was this little boy wanted to play with the Legos. And dad was gluing them. And the craggle was just the tube of the crazy glue was kind of faded and cringed up that he was using. And when these little Lego animated creatures came to life in his mind, it spelled craggle. What does crazy glue do? Sticks, huh? And I'm calling it this because I believe ever since the creation of time till now, the craggle could be like Satan, the devil, trying to stop people, to freeze you, to stop you, to keep going, or to give up and stand there, be glued to your situation, can't get away from it. See, and this little boy wanted these little animated people moving and going around. $64 for a cup of coffee? That's awesome! This guy was always happy. That's the spirit we should always have. You know, he went through a lot of stuff. So the craggle, it's going to resemble our enemy or our situation that glue you to that problem. And folks, I by looking at all of you, including myself if I had a mirror, we've all been through stuff. We're going through stuff. Folks, it's part of this life. We live in a world that's tough. And it was because of man. Sin came in. We chose pleasure rather than obeying the Creator. But in his ever ongoing love, He always wants to work with us. He always wants to rebuild, refresh, re-strengthen us always. But we'll always have a craggle. Amen? We gotta stay away from that craggle. I'm gonna be reading out of Nehemiah 1. I kind of set up the speaking for this morning on the craggle. We must stop him. Nehemiah 1, 1 through 4 reads like this. I'm reading out of the God's Words translation. These are the words of Nehemiah, son of Hakaliah, during the month of Chislev in Artaxerxes' 20th year as king. While I was in the fortress at Susa, one of my brothers, Hanani, arrived with some men from Judah. I asked him about the Jews who had survived captivity and about Jerusalem. They told me, those who survived captivity are in the province. They are enduring serious problems and being insulted. The wall of Jerusalem has been broken down and its gates have been destroyed by fire. When I heard this, I sat down and cried. I mourned for days. I continued to fast and pray to the God of heaven. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for this morning. Like Victor said earlier, thank you for the rain. God, these people still came out during this wet weather, cold weather. They're here, God. Some of them are feeling sick. Some are tired, God. Lord, refresh us right now with your presence, your Holy Spirit. Fill our hearts, our minds, our whole attitude right now, God. Just smother us in your love and your grace. Help us to learn something fresh this morning. Holy Spirit, come. Teach us and speak to us this morning what we need to learn out of your holy word. We love and we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Nehemiah loved God. And prayerfully, I'm in a room full of people that love God. But not only love God, but live for God. But some of us have been stuck. Some of us fade out. Some of us feel we're drying up. And I'll go to the flip side. Some of us feel we're doing too much ministry. And that can be a touchy situation. Again, I've opened up with my schedule. Sometimes it's not enough. But if you feel you're burning out doing too much ministry, which a lot of you, I'm going to be honest, in this room, are probably not doing enough ministry. You need to. And God will be there. And He is our strength. Lost loved ones. People are sick. Some people need jobs. Some of your marriages are looking pretty shabby. Not very loving. Not very Christ-like. Our attitude, our character is so important to God. Is it easy? No. And it's hard because the craggle's always in there trying to glue you down. Glue us down to the situation. And that's why I call it, we must stop the craggle. And I entered it with that intro to the movie. We need to be free because the Bible says we are free in Christ. And we know throughout history that we've had many, many evil rulers from the beginning of time. Evil rulers. Some were good and some were bad. But yet we're still here, and yet God still made this whole predestined lives of the people from then up till now. The ship keeps sailing. He's already made it, spoke it, and it's going to be what it is. And you're going to live through it praising God no matter what. The craggle will be there. And evil will always be around to want to destroy our lives, folks. Your situation is always going to try to make you think you're not going to get to the other side. And yes, you will. God's word says you will. You know, our walls could represent our souls. These walls Nehemiah had to go rebuild could be the wall for our soul. And we at one time had our walls torn down by the enemy. By that sickness, by that separation, by that issue in your life. And the enemy hit hard. Our soul is like a city that the enemy always wants to destroy. And only God can help our souls. You know, the Bible says Jesus is the lover of our soul. Look at Psalm 71:23. King David says, my soul, which you have rescued, always sing joyfully. This is a man in a cave, being chased by armies, trying to get killed at every sight. Look what he's saying. I will sing joyfully. and he's being chased after. He lost everything, and he's in a cave at this point, writing these songs to God. Where does it say here, oh God, I don't feel like singing right now? It says, I don't feel joyful to you. You know what was beautiful right now? When Victor just faded out, and you guys, it's beautiful when you're all singing, how great is our God. Okay, now take what you're singing and what your adoration is doing through your body, take it with you and live it. The craggle will be around. But you live a life of worship and you'll see the difference. See, our soul is made up of three parts, mind, will, and emotion. And when our walls are down, the enemy has free access to our mind, emotions, and will. He comes to deceive our minds in thinking wrong thoughts. How many of you just saw something of someone or a partner, a friend, your wife or husband, and you thought things in your mind, you were all wrong? There's some things to work on in there. The enemy gets in and deceives you. He stirs up our emotions with anger, confusion, depression, bitterness, and fear if your walls are torn down. He comes in there and just, I'll never get out of this. We'll never get. Give it to God. Don't carry it. Put the luggage down. Jesus says, take my yoke. My yoke is easy. My burden is light. No, we want to carry it. Oh, I got it, bro. Yeah, I'm good. Now I don't even know. I'll go to Bible study maybe. I might go to church next week. I'll go help one day. I got this. Oh, yeah, I got this. Little by little. Yeah, I got this. Yeah, I missed a couple of months of church. But yeah, I'm all right. I'll get there. Trying to carry your own stuff, man. I'm guilty. I live that way. I live that way at one time. And Jesus said, come here, son. Come here. And he took it all. Wow, when he let me stand up and see life through his lens, wow. I'm not up here because I want to. God put me here to speak his word. Me, Jerry, and Jeremiah, the people that set up the worship band, these loving people, Tracy and Joe, that just volunteer to come cook for us, it was from God. And because they want to serve at some level. We don't want to get paid. I'm not looking for a paycheck. We've never been paid. And we don't care. We love serving God. We do it because we love God. And our passion is to see lives change. He wants to bring you down. He comes to influence and control our will. And what do I mean by that, or will? It's because sometimes you'll say something to your partner, and you know in that moment you're saying it, in those seconds of words, you in the back of your mind, you shouldn't be saying it. And then you walk away and go, oh, why did I say that? The enemy's right there. Your walls are down. He got you, man. See, the Bible clearly says this. A Christian, a believer of the Lord Jesus Christ, cannot get demonized, but we can get oppressed. And they're right there, man, the craggle. Sometimes you just want to give up. I loved Jerry's sermon last week. When I was sitting, I was going, yup, that's for me, yup, that's for me, all morning. Everything he said, I told Jerry right after the service, ask him. Half of that first intro, dude, that your sermon, the halfway point, I was ready to give up work. I wanted to punch my boss in the face. I've just been working a lot, and I didn't have time to study. See, we're human. But bring it to God. Give it to the Lord. Oh, the craggle was trying to glue me down. He was trying. I've said this before. The Bible also says we wrestle against principalities, forces of darkness. They wrestle you. And I've told this to people. Yeah, he probably, the enemy wrestled you, that force. But what does wrestling take? 3 seconds, right? Oh, you're done. Get up. Next match. He's pinned. Get up. Right. 3 seconds. The enemy just wants to take you down, but you got to stand back up. I've never seen a wrestling match. Oh, it's been an hour. Yeah, he's still got him. Hold on. 2 hours up, he's still, his back still down. No, wrestling is 3 seconds, right, guys? I don't know much about sports. Is it 3 seconds? Your pin? Anybody? 3 seconds. Thank you, John. Yeah. The enemy will just take you down. Get up. And I think I said this at our last Bible study. Some of us, he's wrestled us down over a argument over where the remote was or whatever. You parked the car sideways or you parked it in the wrong spot. I don't know where these words are coming from for you. And we lay there. The enemy's already, the devil's like, I already pinned you, dude, get up. We're laid there. Oh, I've been pinned, oh, I gotta get up, now I got it. We do that. And if you stay there long enough, the crap will show up. And you'll be glad to glue you to that situation and never let you go. And we've gotta work on our walls, guys. If our walls are torn down, we will experience various addictions. If our walls are torn down, we will experience various addictions, uncontrolled thoughts, and strongholds of lying. And that's where you get to sleep. You're not staying connected. You're not reading. If you're not loving each other like God created us, you're going to have issues. And a lot of people walk around thinking, oh, we're okay. And look at what it says here in Luke 6:49. The person who hears what I say but does not obey it is like someone who built a house on the ground without any foundation. The floodwaters pushed against it, and that house quickly collapsed and was destroyed. I was that man too. Before Christ, in my prior marriages, my house was chaos. But I lived a life like it was okay. I walked around, hung out with my buddies, went to work. It looked all normal at the surface level, but my house was chaos. My relationship, there was nothing there. It was dry. I didn't know how to love my partner or love kids. My own kid at that. The enemy gets in. But I live my life like normal. I'm okay. Everyone else is doing it. I'll just go get all drunk and get high on my drugs I use. And the problems will go away. The next day, I wake up, the problem is still there. And so Christ came into my life. And the presence of God started moving in my life, in my home, and in my family. Boy, did things change. The crackle had to get away. The crackle started leaving, departing. He comes back in seasons in our life. He always comes back. Remember when he tempted Jesus in the mountain? 3 times he tempted him. And what did he say after he couldn't tempt Jesus? I'll be back. I'll be back later, dude. Guess where he showed up? Metaphor in this. Paraphrase the scripture at the cross. I got you. Crucify him. What everybody start yelling? All his followers, crucify him. To me, that's a version of, I don't need Jesus right now. We need Jesus all the time. The crackle will come over. The crackle will come over. Only through God's word can we build a solid foundation and start rebuilding our lives, our marriages, our situations. That's the only way. Look at Luke 6:48. He is like a person who dug down to the bedrock to lay the foundation to his home. When the flood came, the floodwaters pushed against that house. But the house could not be washed away because it had a good foundation. Guess who that rock is, that foundation? Jesus Christ. He is the rock to our lives, to our souls, to our everything. And this was Nehemiah's passion, too, that God put in him. Nehemiah was eager to go fix these things for God. See, he's there serving next to a king that doesn't even believe in God. Then he hears of the great affliction of his people and the reproach of his people, as we read right now. And maybe you're suffering from a depression, an anxiety, a fear, a worry, an anger, or an addiction. It is very possible your walls to your soul's protection are torn down and in shambles. And this is God speaking to you. You're suffering in some of these areas. God wants to do some repairing. But are we letting Him? But are we letting Him? Nehemiah heard. And what's the first thing he did? He sat there and cried. Let me ask you this, church, believer, follower of God. When's the last time you sat alone? You're not doing too bad. Just broke. Just broke and cried. Broke and cried. God. Oh God, I love you. Rhetorical question. What does one do in this case? What did Nehemiah do? Look at Nehemiah 1:4. When I heard this, I sat down and cried. I mourned for days. I continued to fast and pray to God of heaven. Sometimes we need to be broken to God and not just throw up cheap, unfelt prayers. I think I said this in my Bible study this Thursday. We treat God like a slot machine. Drop our coin in there and wish for the best. Move on. No, folks. That's not the God we serve. He wants to hear your heart. He wants to unglue you. Because the craggle has us all wrapped up, man. And we're afraid to take that little baby step to start doing whatever it is you need to do in your life. To get with it. To start changing some things. It takes a lot of sacrifice to be here. It takes a lot of sacrifice from us pastors that work full time and write sermons. And Jerry and Jeremiah do the bulk of it. They tell me this is the next series. This is what we'll be talking about. And I'm blessed that they'll allow me to write a sermon that I'll fit in with them. I'm just kind of assisting next to these guys, and I love serving them because they have the same passion I do. Some of these worship folks and some of you that serve, it's the same passion. It's the same Jesus, the same drive, the same love of God. But some of us are stuck by the craggle. And Nehemiah mourned and he fasted. Have you ever skipped a meal just to pray for something? Skip a lunch maybe? Are you afraid people are going to make fun of you? What do you mean you're going to have lunch? We always have lunch at the table at this time. Some of you have groups like that at work. I do too. I stopped hanging out with the group for the past 3 weeks. You know why? Because it's been very long days and I've been needing prayer and I've been needing strength. So I go to the warehouse the past 3 weeks and cry and pray. That's all I've done the past 3 weeks. I always have lunch with my friends that work there in the office. Not these 3 weeks. I need it, God. And He needs us to be doing that. You cannot give Him a coin cheap, unfelt prayer. Gotta really be broken before Him. And boy, when you do that, He comes in, man. He'll grab your heart. I had a hard heart. And God started softening my heart. He taught me how to love my wife. He taught me how to love my kids. He taught me how to be responsible. He taught me what's more important in my life for me. He started teaching me how to care for people, how to pray, how to just move through His Spirit. And be led by the Holy Spirit. Because my heart was hard. Took away all the issues I had. Am I perfect? No. But I'm not abusing things to my body anymore. I'm praising Him and singing like He gave it to me. Through the hard times. Nehemiah didn't stop there. He went and confessed sins, the family sins, and past sins from his past relatives. It says he started confessing everything. Oh God, I'm a sinner. I need you. I thought I had it good with the king here, and I forgot to be praying to you. And oh God, my children, oh forgive them, whatever they're doing. And you know what? My great-great-great grandfathers and families and ancestors, oh God, forgive us of their sins. He didn't stop there. He covered it all. He confessed it all. You have some confession to give out to God. Is there something you need to confess or things? Some of us carry a little bit more than others that we're just holding it like that. Folks, this is so simple. You want to be free in Christ? 1 John 1:7 and 9 says, confess your sins to one another and I'll forgive yours. We just want to hold it and hone it and act like we're okay. You're not going to progress. If you can't be transparent with people and share your problems, you will be stopped by the craggle. You will be glued. You won't move on. Your walls will be shambles. So Nehemiah has confessed. Let me ask you this. What did you do when you discovered your walls of life were torn down? Did you go to Oprah? Did you go to the internet? Find some kind of reading plan that helps people, some kind of secular setting or teaching. Eat 2 eggs in the morning and some celery for lunch, you'll be fine. We do weird things, huh? How do people into it? This is a big one. I'm guilty of this one, and I believe most of the adults in this room are guilty of this one too. Or have you gone to your parents? And your in-laws and just spewed all your problems on them when they don't even hear about it? We've done that. You know, our parents, our grandparents, adults, they don't need to know those personal problems. They're up in age. The Bible says a man will find his wife, cleave to her, and go and become one. It doesn't continue to say, when you fight, go tell mom and dad everything that's going on. Go rat them out. Go tell your in-law, you know, your daughter, man, jeez. He's probably going to just say, well, I tried to tell you, son. She's all yours now, buddy. Thank you, praise the Lord, you're my blessing. I got more time for me, that's what my in-law would say. That's the case, bro. That's a bad one. As couples or anything, sit there and talk about it. Discuss it, pray together. You know what a lot of couples don't do, and I think I've said this a million times, I'm not keep saying it, don't do it in the face, because it has worked for me. Hold their hands. Hold their hands and pray. Be that man that God created you to be. Oh, let's pray, honey. Oh, you sit over there, I'll be on this couch. I'm comfortable. Oh, bring me some coffee with that. Oh, God, thank you for the coffee, amen. Right? All right, let's start our day. All stuck, right? We like this, like that hamster in the wheel. Oh, we're doing great, man. Yep. Hey, guys, you going to church? Yeah, we're doing great. Hey, guys, yeah. Oh, I'm great. See you guys. It's right there. Come to God. I have to be transparent. This was part of my sermon. You guys know I have a new wife, and I bring everything to her. I tell her everything. My prior past, I didn't tell them everything. I'd go to mom and dad. I'd go to the in-laws, and that's wrong. You want some good advice? Read scripture. You want some second level good advice? Ask a pastor. You want some good advice as well? Ask someone that's been through it. You've done drugs? If you can't quit, you see. You cheated on your wife? You've been a womanizer? You had addiction in your life? I'm not proud of it. I've done it all. The crack would happen, man. I was like the guy in the movie. It was on my back, like a backpack. I was gluing other people down. You know how? Giving them drugs, causing fights, causing separations in couples. I tell your wife, the lie, let's just go. That's how this world works. Lie, folks. And I get a deal for that because I was a statistic to that, man. I'm bound free in Christ. And He's given me the boldness and the blessing and the privilege to come before a church to tell you what works scripture and what Nehemiah wanted to do and what God can do. Just stay away from Oprah. Stop reading those other books. Some of them are probably good. Read the Bible. Come to someone that knows scripture. Bring it before God. Don't hold on to it. Don't hide it. Bring it to God. Look at Nehemiah 1:7. We have done great wrong, he says. We haven't obeyed the commandments, laws, or regulations that you gave us through your servant Moses. They dwindled off. They dried up. They thought they were okay, kind of like that hamster on the wheel again. He confessed it right there. And Nehemiah loved God. He was serving next to a king. Why should he be confessing? Because none of us are perfect. Because we all need prayer every day. And we need to be confessed up. Amen? Hope you're all. So now Nehemiah heard the news. He's prayed up and he's confessed up. Now what do we do? We've done all this, okay? Brings me to my first point. Point one is this. God calls us out of our comfort zone. God calls us out of our comfort zone. See, Nehemiah was serving in royalty. And now God sent him out to serve in a royal catastrophe. The walls are all torn down. And people are making fun of them. Bah, you Christians. Look at you. You're still doing all that stuff. You call yourself a Christian. You're all messed up. Just come join us. The crack was right there. quiet because it's hitting me. I know it's hitting some of you. Again, I was up early praying for all of you today that God would speak to us of what we need to work on, of what walls need to be restored in your life. And God wants that. After crying and praying and fasting to God for days, Nehemiah, he took the risk of getting killed by the king. Because he had to ask permission to rebuild the wall. You can't ask anything of a king if you're a servant. He'll chop your head off, like Jerry said last week. And he had to get people together. He had to plan this journey after he got the okay. And not only that, he had to ask for help. He had to ask for help. And this is the topic I like. Many people today, their walls of lives are torn down and won't ask for help. They're the hamster. People are walking by. Hey, what's up? See you later. Yeah, I'm good. Hey, what's up? See you later. It's just right there, not here. And you give people biblical direction to reconstruct, and they don't follow through. As a pastor, in the years I've been pastoring, counseling couples across the table, across the couch, wherever we were, in homes or in an office, a week, 2 months later, they come back again. I don't knock it, I take them back in. I'll talk to you again. It doesn't matter. God always wants to start, always. But you gotta go out there and give it all you can. It's gonna cost more. Because we live in a sinful world. In a fallen world, that to us, to some of us, to people that don't believe in Jesus, everything appears okay. Life is good and dandy. Guess what the Bible says when Jesus returns? Just before he returns, you know what it says? Everybody's going to be partying, marrying, going to work, doing your usual routine, and wham! Jesus comes back. People are going to turn, hey, where did my brother go? Hey, what's up? Where's everybody? The crowd will got you. You're stuck. How is he going to find you? On that hamster wheel. Our walls need work. Nehemiah followed through the direction God gave him. Nehemiah left his royal comfort and followed through. We need to follow through what biblical advice gives us, folks. We don't need to build walls. We have a nice building. We need to build a church that works together and that stays plugged into Bible studies and that's eager to jump in at some level. Frankel, I don't know what to do. Come stand and be a greeter. Good morning, good morning, good morning. Good morning, good morning. Oh, my arm, good morning. We can be so complacent. I'm not going next week. I got to tell everybody good morning. How are you ever going to become social to people like Jesus was? Jesus was a people person. That's why hello is important. That's why all of you should say hello to all of you each other every morning. I try to make it an effort sometimes, stand at the door to greet all of you. I want to get out of my comfort zone. Oh, I'm the pastor. I stand back here. I play the drum. Stay back. Right? Proxy laughs because it's true. There's pastors. Oh, I'm the pastor. They even have their own parking lot with their name on the deal. Pastor's parking, please. People should be parked. The pastor should park a block away. I'm human. Just like you. I want to say hello. If you don't know what to do in church, you can stand there and say hello for me. Frank said I can stand here with you. Praise God. Come help me. You can act crazy like me too, because I'm really crazy. That's serving. Come help. Do the table. Whatever. Come check it out. Let God move in your life. Let Him restore your wall. We need to do and follow through what God's Word says. Why do I say that? Look at James 1:22. James 1:22. Do what God's Word says. Boom. Durr. Is there a 12-year-old in here? Raise your hand. Is there anyone between 12 and 15? Raise your hand. 12 and 15. Okay, 10 and 15 years old. Raise your hand. Okay. All right. Okay. Can you guys see that? What does it say? Do what God's Word says, right? You understand what that means? They understand it, folks. Come on. You know what else Jesus says? That the Bible could, even a little kid could understand it. Why are we having problems? Why can't we get our homework done? Why don't we want to throw out that trash, some of you little ones? Because you're not obeying God's word. Kids, the Bible says, listen to your parents. Oh, I don't want to throw the trash. I always have to throw the trash. Kids, I got a secret. Little ones, teenagers, little ones. When you become older like me, you get to tell someone to throw the trash. It's a cycle. It's a cycle. You're learning to listen to the trash. Is your homework done? Yep, I'm just finishing up. I'm good. Okay, after you're done, you can do your video. A lot of it's backwards. Have you done your homework? No, Mom, not yet. You're there with your video game. Or they walk in, oh, I'm almost done, Mom. Yep, I'm almost. You haven't even started. Right? God's talking to everyone today, from the little ones to the bigger ones. Kids, God wants you to do your homework. God wants you to listen to your parents. This is not in my notes, but He's telling all you little ones, listen to your mommy and your daddy. Listen to your mommy if there's just a mommy. Listen to your daddy if there's just a daddy. God gave you those parents. Oh, God, why did you give me these parents? Can I have those over there instead? Shame on you. Be careful, because God can read your mind. Okay? The crackle is there. Kids, I don't know why I'm talking to the kids now, but you need to. God wants you to talk to everybody. And I want to be that tool to tell the little ones that God loves you and God wants you to listen. Because when you become adults, little guys, girls, you're better people. You're going to be that person that can help someone that needs help. Someone that had a car accident, you go out there, you're going to call someone. Because a lot of people will just keep going. There's a lot of people that aren't nice. And God wants you to be nice people like your parents are learning to be, like we are. Amen? So get out of your comfort zone, throw the trash, kids, okay? And do what God's word says. This is up there. Do not merely listen to it, or you will fool yourself. In other words, don't lie to your parents. If they tell you to do something, go follow through. Go. Whatever God says, biblically, direct you in your situation, follow through. Because we fool ourselves. If me and Olivia were fighting every Thursday and Friday, I'm going to get into some of that note. We don't fight. And then I came to church. Guys, don't fight with your wives. I'm fooling myself. And I'm not even being real. I'm not being transparent. And there's going to be no effect. God says, no, Frank, I can't use you there. You're not being real. You do fight with her. Yeah, now I'm going to get to my funny part. At home, I am so blessed. We just play around like we fight because we don't fight. She's real easygoing and so am I. It took all these years of God to lead me to someone like me. It's so cool. I don't know if we're ever going to fight. I doubt it. She has a great humble heart and I'm working on mine. I don't care how holy you think I am, how pastor-like you see me. Jesus says I have to love my wife like Christ loved the church and I'm going to work at it every day. Men, you don't have to be a pastor to learn to love someone or your wife. Learn to love like God loves, period. Paul said this, follow my example. Guys, follow my example. I play fight with them. Oh, the other day we had the window open in the bedroom. It's kind of about 8 at night and we're getting ready for bed and I knew the window was open and I start hollering something like we're fighting. She looks at me like with a smile and goes, how's the neighbors think we fight? So we can think we're normal. Remember that one? That was cool. We do that. That's how happy we are. And why are we so happy? Let me tell you what the key is. I've said it over and over. Every morning at 5, she's up with me praying, holding her hand. She doesn't have to get up. But she's doing her part. I don't want her to ever see me wonder to her pastor, but it's cool. No. I'm so real to her, like you see me here, I'm saying everything. I don't want to be stuck like my pastor. By the crap. I want to be real and transparent. And more the crap. And to the church. God is speaking to the husbands right there. Get out of your comfort zone, guys. Do what God says in His Word. Second point. God calls us to the impossible. Oh, how can I love that person? It can't even be love. You kidding me, God? Look at him. I tell my wife this too all the time. One day she's really going to be able to see me. Oh, I married him. Jeez. Fix my eyes, oh God. doesn't say that. I just pick on him to do that. You know what Olivia fell in love with? She can tell you too. That's all I wanted to show you. Because if I came to her to want to marry her and woo her, bring her to my side, and I use just my flesh side, the old man, she'd find a lot of faults. Even though I have faults, I don't think she'd fall in love as fast as she did. It's the Spirit of Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit between the couple, that holds it strong. You know, we always pray when we pray together, Jesus, be that third and strong strength. Jesus keeps the crackles away. Because he starts to glue us down sometimes. She has a little dog. Hi, Dad. My father-in-law's here, so I gotta make it nice. I don't get along with a dog, okay? I mean, I don't take him or leave him outside when it rains or anything like that. It's just my way of being, my humorous way. I just tease him and mess with the dog and I scold him and dog like, it's a long story, but it's rough. Our fights are over a dog. She just laughs. She goes, he's just a dog. But she loves him. She loves her dog. But guess what Frank has to do? Right. I got to learn to love what she loves. Right? Sometimes she wants to watch the news, and I don't. So we watch the news sometimes. Equal. Give the other person the upper hand when they ask you, hey, let's do this. You're like, okay, we'll do it anyway. You'll be blessed. You know why? That's in Scripture. Jesus told the two guys, remember? He said to the one guy, go work today. Oh, I don't want to, but I'll go anyway. Then he asked the second guy, go work for me. The second guy goes, I'll go right now. Watch his football. He never went. Which one was blessed? The one who didn't want to go. So when you really don't want to do something for that level, do it anyway. Because God's going to bless you. And that's where the connection and the relationship gets stronger and the walls start getting built and love and grace is there. God's love and His grace just starts permeating your whole surrounding. And then you start affecting others. He calls you out of them into the impossible. God will never put us in a situation we can't handle. That's why He puts us in it. Look in Nehemiah 2:5. If it pleases your majesty and you are willing to grant me my request, let me go to Judah, to the city where my ancestors are buried, so I can rebuild it. Remember what would happen to him if he went and asked the king, he would die. He didn't go and say this and say, okay, God, can I go rebuild the wall? Kill me. Is my head still on? Is my head still on? Because God called him to the impossible, and God knew that Nehemiah would be bold enough to go tell this king. Are you bold enough to want to restore your life, your home, and your marriage? Are you bold enough to want to get those healings that you need in your life? Are you want those bad things to start backing up? Are you bold enough to say, God's got this, and I'm just going to go for it? And God starts building your wall. He's going to build the wall, but you just got to give it that effort. Why did he say mustard seed? I say this all the time to you folks, and I'm going to repeat it as well. The mustard seed is the smallest seed in the vegetables, right? Why did he say mustard seed? Because we do 1%, he does the 99. He just wants 1% of your effort. He calls you from your uncomfortable place. It was very dangerous to ask this, but God already knew he can do it. And at times, God will make us work for it. It will cost us lots of work, but he knows we can. How much work will it cost? How much work will it cost? Look at Nehemiah 6:15. The wall was finished on the 25th day of the month of Elul. How do we say that? Elul. The wall took 52 days to finish. 52 days they worked day and night. That was a lot of work. I'm going to share something with you that worked for me in my past when I was going through a tough, alone time by myself. I would read Psalm 71. I read it for 21 days. Every morning I was ready for work, had my coffee there, and I read Psalm 71 right there by my sink because the house was dark. I had a little light in my sink and just read it and went to work. Psalm 71. It is clinically proven that if you do something for 21 days consistent, it becomes repetitive and you start getting used to doing it all the time. If you only pray 3 days, you say, I've prayed almost most of the week. I'll wait. I'll start again next week. You're going to stop. Do it 21 days. I challenge you, church. Do it 21 days. Find you a verse, a chapter, read it 21 days over and over. If you don't want to read some chapters, then pray every day for 21 days and you start getting accustomed to it, then the Holy Spirit starts moving in you and starts doing things in that moment of your prayer time. So when you go back to this life we call life, this dark, perverse world, you're going to take things a little easier and you'll be bolder. And you won't be afraid. You won't be timid. You won't doubt. You won't fear. You'll succeed. Because God's got your back. 21 days, guys. And that's what got me through that rough time. I read Psalm 71 for 21 days. And after it, I just kept doing it more and more. And just doing more, start reading more, start praying more. But you got to be persistent. We will never rebuild the walls to our lives until we first become greatly concerned about the ruins. You will never rebuild your walls of your lives until we first become greatly concerned about the ruin. So what's concerning you more? Getting that new car, trying to find that job, hopefully your marriage gets right. Well, are you coming to God? Have you fasted at least once a week, one meal? Because Nehemiah says he prayed and fasted for days. You want something really bad, it's going to cost us, folks. God didn't put me up here just, poof, you're a pastor now. Oh, no. I could stand here for 2 weeks and tell you my whole testimony of what it took God to bring me here. Trials and errors and afflictions and tribulations and discouragement and giving up and hating and everything. Kicked out of church. Name it. But he had a perfect plan to bring me here and tell you about it. And hopefully encourage you. So what's concerning you? What are you doing about it? And will you follow through? Last point. God calls us to show His power. God calls us to show His power. What do I mean by that? Everything I've said. Most of my family and friends probably thought I was going to be a loser all my life. The life I led. Drugs, dope, jail, drive-bys, you name it. Cheating, lying, scheming. God turned it around and now He's using it for His glory. Amen. He has turned all this evil that could have been still evil and turned it around. He said, right here, I'm going to start using Frank. He'll be done right here. He'll be ready right there. And sure enough, there's people in this building that will tell you, man, when I first met him, and then when I seen him as a Christian, wow, I wanted to be like him. Because they saw Jesus. Because they saw the Holy Spirit moving. My walls were being restored. Of everything the Kragel has stolen. The enemy is stealing from you. He's a thief. And he's ripping you off and having you glued to that situation. When you can start moving and letting God do things. Work on it. Don't let him steal no more. You stand up and you pray and you confess. And you do things for God. And you'll see the Kragel start backing up. That's what shows His power. You see, the enemy is always lurking, looking around. Look at 1 Peter 5, 6 through 9. 1 Peter 5, 6 through 9, and I'm almost done. Be humble by God's power so that when the right time comes, He will honor you. Turn all your anxiety over to God because He cares for you. Keep your mind clear and be alert. Your opponent, the devil, is always prowling around like a roaring lion as he looks for someone to devour, someone not to do their homework, someone not to listen to their parents, someone not to care about their marriage, someone not to care to get a job. Be firm in the faith and resist him, knowing that other believers throughout the world are going through the same kind of suffering. You see, we share things. We all go through stuff. But God is right there. God will always be there. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you, folks. He hasn't left us. Get up. Fight. Be bold. The enemy heard of Nehemiah's plan to rebuild the wall. Look at Nehemiah 2:19. When Sanballat the Horonite, Tobiah the Ammonite servant, and Geshem the Arab heard about this, they made fun as he ridiculed us. He made of, oh, your mom's a Christian? What do you mean you guys go to Remnant? Wow, God, whatever. They asked, what are you doing? Are you going to rebel against the king? You're really going to go to church today? They'll make fun of you. They're going to make fun of you, and it's okay. God's got your back. He's restoring some walls. They question God's authority and work. Are you kidding me? No way, you can't do that. These people are questioning the validity of God's word and the authoritative word of God. These two guys, it's funny, out of the three, look at the two, Sanballat. You know what Sanballat's name means in the Hebrew? Strength. You know what the Bible talks in the New Testament about the strong man, the enemy wants to just keep you down. Sanballat. Some of you have Sanballats in your life. There's another guy, his name was Geshem. You know what his name means in Hebrew? Geshem, rain. They're raining accusations against you, telling you stuff that you'll never make it. You'll never make it. You'll never make it. Jesus is not the way. Lies. You're being rained on. You're seeing it hopeless. And those are the enemies that knock our walls down. Nehemiah's response was this, 2:20. The God of heaven, He will give us success. His focus of attention was not on the enemy, not on the problem, but on what God would do. You need to refocus, folks. You need to refocus. Look at your wall. Nehemiah was determined to rebuild the walls. Are you determined? Are you willing to get your walls restored up with your family and work together? Look at Nehemiah 4:13-14. That is why I positioned people by their families. Families were working together behind the walls where at its lowest point and were most exposed. The people were armed with swords, spears, and bows. That's fighting, folks. Some families are fighting here and working at the same time. Verse 14, I looked over them and proceeded to tell the nobles, the leaders, and the rest of the people, don't be afraid of our enemies. Remember how great and awe-inspiring the Lord is. Fight for your brothers, your sons, your daughters.
You've been listening to a presentation of Remnant. For more information, visit us at remnantchurchonline.com.
Don't be afraid of the enemy. God is greater and the enemy isn't. He will do the fighting when you do the standing. You need to stand up and fight. I don't care how bad your situation is, God can help you rebuild. And by God's grace, you can return to rebuild the walls. Amen?